the sports page.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page. I'm John Bauer, along with Heidi Holton. We are back with the sports page on KAXE. I'm John Bauer. I see Kyle Erickson at the bottom of the screen with a nice-looking do. It looks like you worked on that. Yeah, I'll work it. Heidi Holton and Fred Friedman is on the line. Are you there, Kyle?
Hello, good morning.
I'm here, good morning.
Okay, let's start right off. I'm going to read you some statistics because we lost another one, a legend. RBIs, 2,297, first all-time. 25 times All-Star, 755 home runs, 3,771 hits. I did not know that. 2,174 runs. And that's the late, great Hank Aaron. And Fred, you start off with your Hank Aaron memories or what your thoughts are.
I'm fortunate enough to, good morning, everybody. I'm fortunate enough to have seen Henry Aaron play many times as a kid in Chicago. My folks were rabid baseball fans. We were in County Stadium lots of times. Saw him dominate the league when 57 and 58 when they won the National League. Was there when, and people got to remember that folks here in Minnesota and northern Wisconsin, they rooted for the Braves because there were no Twins. And you got him on the radio every game and all that. This guy was skinny. He was 180 at the most. He had played in the minor leagues in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And he hit line drives that kept rising. He was a heck of a player. The opposite of flamboyant. The opposite of flash.
Yeah.
And remember this, everybody. When he retired, he says Hall of Fame, 755 home runs, 305 lifetime batting average. Not enough. Time to get to work on civil rights. That's a quote from Mr. Aaron.
Kyle?
You know, most folks, I think, probably associate Aaron with the all-time home run record, and I consider him the all-time home run king. I refuse to acknowledge Barry Bonds' chemistry-aided record. But Aaron was one of the best all-around ball players of all time. He had a lifetime batting average over 300. He stole almost 250 bases. Like you said, John, he almost had 4,000 hits. You know, I'm obviously much younger than Fred, so I don't have those in-person memories. But I remember vividly watching a documentary and hearing about, as Aaron was approaching Ruth's record, the literally thousands of hate mail letters and death threats that he received. And knowing the focus that's required to play baseball at that level, that he was able to push through all of that and break probably baseball's most sacred record is just incredible to me. And as Fred pointed out, the work that he did off the field was just as important as the work that he did on the field. And I was really happy to see almost immediately after his passing, an effort to launch the Henry Louis Aaron Fund with $1 million kicked in from the Players Association in Major League Baseball in an effort to promote minority participation in the game, not just as players, but to elevate more people into people of color into front office roles in the sport, which is something that Aaron cared an awful lot about.
You know, Kyle, our Fred and Kyle and Heidi, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it's about racism. And I don't consider myself a racist, but when I was a little boy, because of his non-flamboyance, et cetera, I never paid much attention to Hank Aaron. I knew he was a good ball player, but I never was in love with Hank Aaron. And I don't know what that means, but I think that just goes to show you about what it was like back then. It was strange. He was a great player, had a great swing, hit rockets. But I don't know if you know where I'm coming from, but he wasn't the he wasn't the flamboyant guy, and I didn't really pay attention to his unbelievable talent.
I do, and here's why. Here's why. First of all, John, we're all a little racist, okay? But can't help it. But let me say this. He wasn't in a major media market. He was in Milwaukee. And secondly, he was not flash. And that's really important. He just made the easy play easy. He made the hard play easy. And he didn't get the press. They weren't on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they moved. You know what I mean? They moved from Boston to Milwaukee right before he came up. He was in Milwaukee, and then Selig moved him from Milwaukee to Atlanta, where you have a kid of color playing in the Deep South.
Yeah, and Kyle, you threw out a name there, Barry Bonds. He got rejected again, along with Curt Schilling, and who else?
Everybody else.
Everybody,
This was the
everybody.
First ballot in a number of years, and there's only been a handful of them all time where no one was elected to the Hall of Fame.
What does that mean? There's no Hall of Fame ceremony? It's just shut down?
Well, they're doing it for last year, because remember, they canceled it last summer because of the pandemic.
Hopefully.
So the people that got elected in the year before this, they're going to put them in this year.
And there could still be people, I don't know the timing of it, Fred, maybe you know, there's also a veterans committee sort of thing where people who termed off the ballot and weren't elected can be put in by a different mechanism. And so it's interesting on this front. One of the Hall of Fame hopefuls who didn't get in is Curt Schilling, whose mouth and politics are really probably what's kept him out of the hall to this point, because his career makes him a pretty kind of fringe solid candidate. He asked
I wouldn't call somebody who's a blatant racist and a homophobe politics, Kyle.
I agree, Fred. It's human rights, not politics. But what's interesting is that he would be going into his final year of eligibility, and he asked that his name be taken off the ballot, because once you get through your 10th year and you're not elected, then your only route is through that veterans committee. But he had some pretty sharp words for the writers, saying basically that he wanted the veterans committee, people who actually understood the game, to consider him and not the writers, and deflecting from the fact that the only reason Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame already is Curt Schilling. It's not the Baseball Writers of America.
That's right.
No question. No question.
And how does...
And of course...
Go ahead, Fred.
And there's a never-ending debate, should character count to get into the Hall of Fame? If character does count, there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that need to be
removed. A lot. A lot. And let me ask you a question. How does Michael Kadire get on the Hall of Fame ballot? I don't quite understand.
Everybody's on the ballot that played X number of years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but there's the team. So the Twins maybe submitted a whole bunch of names, and then the committee takes...
No, it's just if you have X number of games, you're on the ballot. Yeah.
Okay.
After you've been out of the game for, is it 5 years, Fred?
Right.
I think 5 years is once you're out there. There's not like an actual paper ballot where you're checking boxes.
Yeah.
You can put a certain number of names on the ballot out of the galaxy of players who are eligible.
So,
and of course, the person who's the most eligible to be in the Hall of Fame, who doesn't have character issues or chemical issues, he just can't get the votes, is Minnesota Twins own Jim Cott. Yeah. Most wins of anybody not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's...
With 14 gold gloves, y'all. 14.
Okay, let's switch to our new shortstop, Kyle. My son is jacked.
It's a really good signing that some people probably won't like because he can't hit worth a lick, but
And he can't pitch.
And he can't pitch. But Andrelton Simmons is, I think, bar none, the best defensive shortstop in the game. And Polanco, who had been there for a few years, is among the worst defensive shortstops in the game. And his runs, there's a run save metric, basically how many runs did you save or cost your team with your glove and arm over the course of a year. Polanco's last year was like minus 23 or minus 28. It was just horrible. And so up that big of an upgrade, honestly, could save the Twins 3-4 games in 2021.
Only problem with it is, what do you do with Arraez? Is he just going to be Mickey Hatcher or whatever?
Well, my hope is that they would leave Arraez at second and make Polanco the super utility guy. They may end up having Polanco be the second baseman and Arraez be the utility guy, but I don't think Arraez really has the arm to play at third, and I don't think he's ever played in the outfield.
Yeah, yes, much. He has played in the outfield. So maybe
he has, okay. I know Polanco has as well. So they may just kind of mix and match according to pitching matchups and try to pack it together that way.
I think Arraez will be like Marwin Gonzalez was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he'll play plenty. He hits too much not to play, my opinion. And you guys are assuming something I'm not ready to assume. One, you're assuming Donaldson's healthy. I don't assume that. And secondly, you're assuming we'll sign Cruz. I don't assume that. If we don't, Arraez could easily be the DH. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll say this. Polanco is a below-average fielder and the poorest throwing arm of any middle infielder in the game.
So second would be a much better place for him. Let's switch to football because there's a couple things I want to talk about, three things I want to talk about. First of all, finally, Kyle Rudolph is coming out of his shell and being Mr. Nice Guy. Kyle Rudolph is one of the highest paid tight ends in the world, and all he does is block, and he's barely targeted. And he said he's not going to take a pay cut. He's fed up. He doesn't get the ball enough. And he doesn't get the ball enough. And I don't know why we don't throw to a 6'6 all-pro tight end enough. He gets targeted like maybe twice a game. And I just think that's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. It's not right.
Kyle?
He only had, I think, somewhere just short of 30 catches during this past season. But he's at this point in his career, he's probably, honestly, more of a blocker than he is a receiver. He's not very fast. If you watch the games, especially in the back half of this season, he wasn't getting much separation from the linebacker, the safeties who are guarding him. And when you've got a guy like Irv Smith Jr., the rising star that they have in tight end, to catch the ball, that's probably where most of the tight end targets are going to go.
Well, he's not getting that separation because he's busting his butt blocking 300-pounders all day. Okay, here's a couple more things I want to talk about. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers being upset with the conclusion of the game, and I totally agree with they should have went for it on fourth down, and the coach is getting hammered. But Aaron Rodgers and Brady are kind of the same type of person. Aaron Rodgers bitches about the stuff like that. Well, why doesn't anybody bitch about Aaron Rodgers not running that touchdown in? It would have been a walk-in at the end of the game. And Tom Brady gets so mad at all his players. And maybe these are the quality of a leader. Tom Brady gets all upset about people who drop balls, but yet he throws three interceptions, and he's a legend. And I just, you know, sometimes what goes around comes around, and never, ever. I mean, you got to jack people up sometimes, but those two do it on a regular basis. And do you know what I'm talking about, the play where he could have scored?
Absolutely. It's on the Star Tribune. They've put it on a couple of times. He could have easily run in. He had to run that ball.
He had about he had 8 yards to go, and both the cornerbacks' backs were to him at the end of the goal line. So,
and he tried to make the impossible throw.
Yes.
He needed to run that in. Before I forget, I'm with you, John, 100% on Kyle Rudolph. He's a quality person. Nobody writes bigger checks to Minnesota community funds. He's underused. He's right.
And last but not least, prediction. Well, we've got next week's sports page, but how in the world is anybody going to beat Kansas City? It is so much fun
They're
to
not.
Watch. It's like watching a fast, speeded-up pinball game. I mean, they have so
They're not.
You've heard me say more than once before, John, that it's perilous to bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, you're going to go
and
down, son.
Mahomes, Kansas City's line, gave up a fair amount of pressure, and they lost, unfortunately, their best offensive lineman to an Achilles injury late in the AFC Championship game. Tampa Bay has a better pass rush, I think, and so it'll be interesting to see what kind of a game plan they put together to try to contain Mahomes and to keep him from getting too comfortable in the pocket. All that said, Mahomes is just a marvel to watch.
Oh, my gosh. He
makes throws from – he's like the Louis Tiant of the NFL, where he's got all these different arm angles and can figure out ways to fit the ball into tiny little windows. And it's really, really fun to watch.
Tampa's only advantage is it's the first time there's a home team in the Super Bowl. And I'm excited that there's two kids from the University of Minnesota playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Douglas and – is it Douglas and Winfield?
Tyler Johnson.
Johnson.
Winfield Jr.
Did Winfield get hurt? He didn't play, did he?
He did. Yeah, he did get hurt, but he will be back for the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah. Last but not least, Heidi, Fred, Kyle. Kyle, what is a fish donkey?
Fish donkey is an app, some software for – fishing tournament management.
Yes.
That's one fish donkey. Donkey is also a term in bass fishing for a very large bass.
Okay, because I was discussing some of the fishing tournaments that are going around, and some of them have big, big bucks, so I'm wondering how a fish donkey can be honest.
So I fished in a couple of tournaments that use that app, and they've got a really good process where you have to photograph the fish from a couple of different angles, including one where it's on a commercially available measuring board, so you can't, dummy up your own measuring board at home that each inch is actually like 3/4 of an inch to fudge things. And you submit them, and the tournament director takes a look and verifies, et cetera, and it actually works really, really well. Mm-hmm. And it was a godsend this past year when a lot of tournaments couldn't be held because of the pandemic. People are still able to get out and compete and do it via fish donkey.
All right, Fred, that might be one app you might want to download this weekend is fish donkey.
Pass.
All right, gentlemen, see you later.
Wait, do we want to do
gosh,
trivia?
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Trivia.
I almost forgot. Oh,
waiting for you guys, and you keep going, and then you cut me off.
No, we're being selfish. We're just so locked in. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Okay, Henry Aaron is the only player to hit 20 or more home runs in 20 seasons. He's one of only two players to hit 30 or more home runs in a season at least 15 times.
Oh.
Who was the other?
McCovey? Willie McCovey?
Mays.
Tend to think of long, long careers.
Not Willie Mays?
Nope.
Jim Thome. Harmon Killebrew, Babe Ruth.
Holy cow. I can't believe you guys don't know. Kyle's like speechless.
Pujols.
I can't think of anybody.
A-Rod.
Oh.
Wow.
Another juice. Oh. Another juicer.
Yeah, more steroids, boo.
All right.
Is that it?
Barry Bonds and Albert Pujols, 14.
Pujols.
Babe Ruth and Mike 13.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. What's Babe Ruth and Mike Schmidt had 13. So,
All
right. Next question. Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton also died last week. Sutton never missed a turn in the rotation in 756 big league starts and never landed on the injured list. He's one of the 10 pitchers with more than 300 wins and 3,000 strikeouts.
Wow.
Name the other 9.
Oh,
Walter Johnson for sure. Randy Johnson for sure.
Yep.
100 wins and 300 strikeouts.
Roger Clemens.
Bill Negro, Roger Clemens. We've got
Nolan Ryan.
Yep, 5.
Maddox.
Oh, man, now it's going to get
Maddox,
tough.
Yep, 6.
Steve Carlton.
Yep, 7. 2 more.
Is there maybe a Martinez? Dennis Martinez?
Steve Carlton. Cy Young.
Heidi's got 7 fingers up.
Yeah, I'm trying to, it's hard to keep track of this. Which ones you might not have gotten? Okay, so I'll just run through them, okay? Okay,
yeah.
Did we say Clemens?
I say Clemens, yep.
Yeah.
Tom Seaver?
Seaver, yep. I think that was it. I think that was eight. Okay, Walter Johnson, Greg Maddux, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, Gaylord Perry.
Oh.
Oh, we missed him.
Roger Clemens, and Phil Negro.
Okay.
So you just missed one, I think.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good. 90% is an A.
Okay, and Scott also says Sutton and Aaron's deaths come shortly after seven other Hall of Famers died in 2020. Lou Brock, Whitey Ford, Bob Gibson, Al Killeen, Joe Morgan, Phil Negro, and Tom Seaver. All right.
Terrible year.
Terrible.
Who was the only player in NBA history to be the league most valuable player, defensive player of the year, and MVP of the NBA Finals in one season? He led his team to back-to-back championships in 1994 and 95.
Michael Jordan.
Jordan.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yes.
Whoa, Kyle.
The dream.
He's also the all-time NBA leader in shots blocked and was drafted number one in 84 ahead of Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton.
Probably the best footwork of any NBA center, them, Kevin McHale and him.
So, Heidi, this is a broadcasting question. It's not a question. I'm just going to tell you this. When Hakeem Olajuwon was in college, CBS broadcaster Billy Packer says foreign players should not be allowed to play in the NCAA, and he was fired within 2 hours.
Hmm.
Okay. All right, you guys, I got a couple more. What 23-year-old American swimmer has already won 5 Olympic gold medals and 15 world championship gold medals, the most in history for a female swimmer? She's the world record holder in the women's 400, 800, and 1500-meter style.
Evans? Is her last
freestyle
name Evans?
The only swimmer I know is Michael Phelps. I'm no help here.
Evans.
Female swimmer.
Isn't it Evans? Her last name Evans?
Nope. Oh. Katie Ledecky.
Oh.
Nope. The one in an audit.
The Oklahoma Sports Museum's annual award given to the best left-handed pitcher in the major leagues is named after what Hall of Famer?
Best left-handed pitcher is Warren Spahn, but he's not from Oklahoma.
That's it, though. That's the answer.
Okay.
Very good.
Wow.
It's kind of like, okay, it's like inheriting Judy Garland, kind of.
Yeah. There we go. Thanks,
all
you
right,
guys.
All right, gentlemen. Whew, I'm exhausted.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Heidi.
See ya.
Yep.
Call me.